This morning, we're talking about fellowship, a very important thing in the body of Christ, something that is often discussed but often is not practiced, depending on how you define it. Community itself is important to our society. If you don't believe it, look in the communities. There's a push to be involved in neighborhood community gatherings, and cities do different things. They throw 4th of July parties and they throw fireworks shows and all these other things. Community is becoming something that we ran away from at one point, but as a society, we are coming back to realizing the need for community and the benefit it has on our life. Various activities promote the fellowship of individuals to find companionship, friendship, and interest in conversations. It is something that we often should be doing in the church, but seek elsewhere. My question this morning is, how important is community to you? Who are those that you long to be with? Who are those that you long to share your life with? Where do you long to be in community? In the book of Hebrews, in verse 10, we find a section about the importance of community. Often taken as a command, it is meant for an encouragement. In verse 19, it begins by saying, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through the flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you say the day drawing near." I love this verse, but not because this verse is where I sit here and tell you you have to be here every time the doors open. That's a different discussion. I love this verse because this verse says we gather together to stir one another up and encourage one another. The meaning, the purpose of community is partially to encourage each other, to stir one another up to good works, to stir one another up in how to love one another. And that's done in community. And community should be found above all in the body of Christ. When we leave here, how often do we connect with each other throughout the week? We often connect more with people who are not in Christ than we do with people who are in Christ. And those in Christ are our brothers and sisters. They're our family. We are called to be a community of believers that should be important to us. As we talk about this idea, we're going to discuss the importance of fellowshipping with one another, that being a community and what happens with one another. To do so, we first want to look at the early church and the instruction given on the matter. In the early church, the problem was great. There was a lot going on. Jesus established the church and called believers to live the life that follows him. And over time, by the time we get to the book of 1 John, there's all these issues creeping up. And even in the Corinthian church and all these other churches, there's problems. Christian faith was becoming more and more complicated as more and more tried to change what Christ taught. Early on, the believers gave themselves completely to a life of faith and mission. They completely gave themselves to Christ and to telling others. But by the time of 1 John, cults began popping up. Corruption began taking place. False teachings found their way into the Christian community. Cultural views, human traditions, and many other things got mixed into the Christian faith, corrupting it and causing it to teach things that wasn't intended to be taught. And this is addressed by John in his first epistle. Many were not only teaching false things, but were believing false things, such as you can be a Christian without a community of fellowship. They were teaching in the early days that these Gnostics, these people who knew better than others, who had special knowledge and wisdom, were teaching that it's okay to leave the fellowship of believers. You can be a Christian. And we hear this today, right? I don't attend church. It's just between me and God. But if you read Scripture, it's never just between you and God. If God himself is in community, right? The three-in-one God. If God himself is in fellowship, we are created to be in fellowship. Back in Genesis, it said, it is not good for man to be alone. If man was created to be in fellowship, the church is created to be in fellowship. There is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. It does not exist according to Scripture. It's a man-made belief that started all the way back in the early church. Turn with me to 1 John as these false teachings were becoming more common that discouraged fellowship. John began his first epistle addressing this matter as well as others. In verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are all writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his words are not in us. Within this, and I will tell you, it's within every one of his epistles, there is a key word at work, and that word is fellowship. Over and over and over and over, whether it's translated as fellowship or translated another way, he uses the word koinonia, which is the word fellowship. He uses the word fellowship. It seems pretty clear that John believed fellowship within the community was important. Fellowship with God was important. And hopefully, as we see and continue through the lesson, you will see that fellowship is not just with each other, but as we fellowship with each other, we fellowship with God himself. What does Scripture say? Where two or three of you gather, what? There I am also. Fellowship is vital to the Christian life. The author uses the word fellowship to describe the audience's close association involving mutual interest and sharing with the Father and with Jesus and one another. Fellowship can also be defined as participation fellowship, the act of sharing in activities and privileges, the act of coming together for a common purpose, an intimate association or group. One dictionary defines it as. The idea of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following, basically. All things in common, coming together, meeting outside of just Sundays and Wednesdays. Loving on each other. True fellowship is derived from the community of Christ. True fellowship happens when we come together as one and commune with Jesus himself. It's not about lingering around after church and talking. That's not all of it. That's part of it, right? It is a purposed gathering as well. Fellowship happens all throughout the week. But the pinnacle, the most beautiful fellowship happens when we gather together and invite Christ to join us. When we gather together to take communion, when we gather together to sing praises to him, when we gather together to open his word and understand it and come closer to him, when we gather together as a body of believers and pray and enter his throne room, and when we gather together with Christ present and lean upon each other, encouraging one another. Fellowship happens throughout the week. But I believe it begins with the community fellowship that invites Christ into it. Fellowship is, one author puts it, the sharing of our inner lives in the context of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. I thought that was wonderful. Fellowship is that sharing of our inner lives as we consider the word of God, whether it's in song or whether it's in sermon, or in prayer. And then we trust in the power of God. One author defines it as fellowship is fierce dedication to uprooting the patterns of the old nature within us and edifying that which God has given us through Christ. It is leaving the patterns of our old life and coming together and building up the patterns of the new life as we worship God. Those are various definitions of fellowship that all kind of boil down to something we'll get to at the end of this lesson. But I want to look at some understandings that I believe are important to have about fellowship out of 1 John chapter 1. In the first three verses, we see that fellowship is based on the truth about Jesus. You see, in that time, people were coming and they were twisting the truth of Jesus, and therefore it twisted the meaning of the gathering, the fellowship with one another. In fact, it was saying you don't have to fellowship. You don't have to gather together and come together. But we see John begins with an understanding of the truth of Jesus. One of the main themes that John writes in all of these is believing in this truth rather than in the falsehood that's being spread. Do we believe Jesus is who he is? Do we believe that Jesus said what he did, that Jesus did what we read? In Luke 4, it says, and Jesus went to, on the Sabbath, Jesus went to the temple as was his custom, because he wanted to be around similar-minded people, I believe. He wanted to learn. He wanted to worship. He wanted to participate in that special fellowship that takes place when Christians gather. Back then, it was when Jews gathered. Do we long for that? The word church simply just means a gathering. But it's a gathering with a purpose. It's a gathering with a purpose of fellowship among each other, and a fellowship that as we fellowship with each other, we invite God to fellowship with us. Fellowship is based on the truth about Jesus. I love verse 4, and we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. Some say our joy, a better translation is your joy. But it tells me that fellowship is also a source of joy. They are encouraging, you will see in a moment, John is encouraging them to fellowship with themselves and with God so that joy may come about. Teens left for a church camp this morning, and I was standing there, and Ben and I were talking about how much we used to love going to church camp. It was a source of joy. I always came back from church camp. And many of you, if you've gone, probably had a similar experience. You always come back from church camp on a spiritual high. Joyful, excited to be a Christian. Excited to live out the Christian faith. Wouldn't it be amazing if we can encourage others that if you would come and fellowship with us when we gather, it will bring joy to your life. Now, that doesn't mean that every time we walk out here gung-ho and giddy. Sometimes we have sermons or we have songs that are lamenting, right? Sometimes we think about our sins and we have to deal and struggle with those sins. Sometimes we walk in carrying a load of baggage and we just need to help have someone help us carry that load. But at the end of the day, more times than not, hopefully we come in here and we find a source of joy despite our problems, despite our trials, despite what Satan throws at us. Because we see that we're not the only ones struggling. And we've come together and we've been encouraged and we've been lifted up and we've been challenged maybe. And God was here the whole time. It is a source of joy. Fellowship is not just the source of joy. It's also based on fellowship with God. See, if we gather together and we don't fellowship with God, if we're not walking in the light, as it says, and if we don't come together with the purpose of fellowshipping God, it is just another gathering of people. If you walk in without an intentional purpose to fellowship with God, it's just a social gathering, isn't it? We meet for a specific purpose, to fellowship with each other as we fellowship with God. You see, throughout the rest of the week, the early church would meet day by day, it says, not just in the temple courts, but we see throughout history that they would meet a lot, and it was to fellowship with each other. It was a social gathering of encouragement, but they also would often meet together with a purposed gathering of socializing with God, basically, worshiping Him, fellowshipping with Him. How do you do at your fellowship with God? How often do you fellowship with God? Fellowship with God is done in the context of fellowshipping with His body of believers. We can have communication with God. We can walk in step with God. But Scripture over and over again says fellowship happens in the context of fellowshipping with one another. And when we do that, and God shows up, we have fellowship with Him. Now, it goes beyond this, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But ask yourself, how often, first of all, do I fellowship with one another? And how often do I come to fellowship with God? Jesus did it weekly, at least. And I'm not saying it's that we can't go on vacation ever. But do we try to make it a habit to fellowship with God and with others? Or do we prefer social gatherings and social gatherings only? I love the idea of fellowship and the importance of fellowship, because God is someone who desires passionately to be in a relationship with you and I. And a relationship isn't something that's done well over vast miles, right? If Katie's out of town, if she never came back, that would be a hard relationship to keep up, wouldn't it? How often have we met someone that we need to encourage to enter into the fellowship because they fellowship with God once, maybe twice a year? And they don't realize that's not the fellowship God wants. God wants a good, constant fellowship with you and you with his body. I love that God desires a relationship like this. And I love that as a church, we are encouraged to have a relationship that fellowships both inside and outside of worship. But I want to get to verses 5 through 10. We're not going to read them again. But as we talk about an understanding of fellowship, we see that it's based on truth about Jesus. John points that out. He points that out actually in all three epistles. We see that it's a source of joy that as we fellowship with each other and with God, we find joy. We see that it's based on fellowship with God, but we also see in verses 5 through 10 that fellowship is evidenced in action. Right? It's evidenced in action. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we have lied. And we don't practice the truth. That's one of several examples he gives here. It's evidenced by action. Well, I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. Okay. What are the actions that support it? Guys, I know this isn't popular. We're so individualistic. We want to be told, you can come to church whenever you want to. But at the end of the day, it just says it. It is evidenced by action. If you say that you walk in the light, prove it. Show me the actions. If we're in fellowship with God, here we're told that fellowship with God includes fellowship with one another. So if you are walking with Christ, show me the fellowship. And I can say show me a lot of other things too, by the way, but this morning's sermon is about fellowship, so we're sticking primarily with that one. Oh, well, the Bible doesn't say I need to go to church. Okay, if you're walking with Christ, if you're following Christ, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. It means we're looking at him as our rabbi, and we're following him, we're mimicking him, we're imitating everything we possibly can. And Luke 4 says Jesus always went to worship on Saturday. Okay. Well, when do we meet for worship? Are we there as often as we can be? Where's the action that demonstrates it? I'm not saying we earn our salvation. I am saying God notices action. In fact, doesn't Scripture say we're not just based on our head, we're not just judged on our head knowledge, but we'll be judged on our deeds? He doesn't want just head knowledge, and he doesn't want just good works. He wants both. I'm preaching to the choir because we're here today. I know this. But hopefully we're equipping and we're encouraging. Hopefully we're able to take this mentality, this idea that God is in community, he wants us in community, that God is in fellowship with one another, that he wants us to be in fellowship regularly as we fellowship with one another, invite him into the fellowship. Hopefully we can take this and encourage others, or encourage those who fail to show up often, that we miss them, we love them. And not that you have to go to church, but God wants you to fellowship with him. But that fellowship is not an isolation fellowship. It is the fellowship that happens within the context of the body of Christ. You see, there's a difference in saying, well, you need to be here because you have to be here because Jesus went in Luke 4 and that means we have to do it. It's different to say, God wants to be in fellowship with you. And 1 John chapter 1 and various other passages and Ephesians and several other passages, Scripture teaches that fellowship with God happens in community. Church, what is the evidence of our claims? I know plenty of people who have the head knowledge but struggle to practice it. And that's okay. We all struggle to practice something in the faith. You know what the beauty of fellowship is? As we fellowship one another, those social gatherings outside of church, we can encourage, we can support, we can lift up, we can pray with and pray for, we can do all of these things so that as we bring each other to the body of fellowship and invite God into that fellowship, they can walk away with joy. They can walk away uplifted. They can walk away with the intent of fellowshipping each other and God. Fellowship, however, is not something that always naturally happens. It's something that is cultivated. It takes time, and it takes all of us to encourage. Fellowship means that whenever somebody is missing repeatedly, that you take the responsibility to call and say, "Hey, man, I really missed you. How was vacation? I'm so glad you're back. Do I get to see you this Sunday? Or, hey, I know you've got to work Sunday. Let's go get lunch later." It's something that's cultivated, that we encourage, that we work, and that doesn't often come natural. Community is not always fellowship. See, I can live in a community. I live in Brookstone. But does that mean I have fellowship with everyone in Brookstone? Community is something that's physical. It's natural, right? Fellowship has a spiritual dynamic to it. I can say that I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and I have a community that I identify with, if you will. But if I never come, do I fellowship? Fellowship involves a spiritual aspect, a participation aspect as well. We must encourage and cultivate fellowship among the believers. According to 1 John chapter 1, the basis for fellowship finds itself in the very core of the gospel, Jesus Christ, and his desire to be with us. And as we come together as a body of believers, we fellowship one another and we invite Christ to fellowship with us. If you have a habit of skipping out on fellowship, I want to encourage you to change that habit. It takes time and it's hard, but we're here to encourage, not blame, encourage you. If you are in the habit of fellowshipping regularly, I want to encourage you, don't judge those who don't. Encourage them to begin fellowship. Come alongside them. Let them know we miss them. Let them know how important fellowship is to God, that God wants to fellowship us, but that's done through a community of fellowship. Ask yourself, how am I doing at fellowshipping with God and with God's body of believers? After you work on yourself, please begin to encourage others to do the same. This morning, if you need to respond to this lesson, if you need to be baptized, whatever your need is, we want to encourage you to come forward. We don't know how to help if you don't let us know. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, grab myself, grab one of our elders, one of our deacons, or grab someone close to you that you trust and let them know that you need the help. But whatever it is, please let us know as we stand and sing.